All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining today's webinar. We're doing a deep dive on Brazil, looking at opportunities on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, specifically at opportunities to Brazil. My name is Peter Rauji. I'm with the Institute of International Education, and I'm joined today by two Fulbright alumni, Dr. Elizabeth Trejos Castillo and Dr. Benjamin Young. They're going to be sharing some insights about what they did on their Fulbright grant. And if they're able to, they'll stick around for the Q&A at the end of this session. What I want to do, though, first is go into some of the foundational knowledge about the Fulbright program, just to make sure that we're starting from the same place, and then look at some of the opportunities we have to Brazil for 2020-2021. The Fulbright program was established in 1946 by then junior senator from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright, really with the goal of increasing mutual understanding between the U.S. and other countries. This is an incredibly important historical context for the program, but it also speaks to what makes a successful application. So really, whatever you're proposing, teaching, research, whatever the case may be, needs to be contextualized in the sense that as a Fulbrighter, you are an ambassador, and you're really representing the United States, and you have to have a sense of why whatever it is you're doing will have an impact that is positive for the host country, the host institution, your home institution in the U.S., Brazil, the U.S., and then certainly, of course, yourself professionally, academically, and personally. Really, what makes a strong Fulbright application is projects that speak to that person-to-person diplomacy. We'll talk a little bit about this throughout the presentation, but I always like to start Fulbright presentations with that note, that again, as a Fulbrighter, you're an ambassador and your project should speak to that. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. It's administered in the U.S. in part by the Institute of International Education. Diversity and inclusion is key to the Fulbright program. And again, if we're serious about increasing mutual understanding between the U.S. and other countries, diversity and inclusion is key to that. What this means for the Fulbright program is that there is not one kind of American academic. There is not one kind of American institution of higher education. So really, Fulbright is looking for ways to support projects that, you know, are contextualized with that ambassadorial aspect, and part of that is expanding connections between the U.S. and other countries. We'll get some insights on what that looks like in Brazil by looking at some of the award offerings. But again, this is a key component of the Fulbright program. As a Fulbrighter, you're in great company. There have been 380,000 grants administered since the beginning of the program, since 1946. We send about 800 U.S. scholars abroad annually, and we work with about 160 different countries across all the umbrellas of, across the full umbrella of Fulbright programs. For the scholar program, which is what we will be focusing on today, which are primarily grants for U.S. faculty and professionals, we work with about 130 different countries. Our alumni include heads of state, recipients of the Nobel Laureate, the MacArthur Foundation Prize, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and many other distinguished alumni. We really, really want to engage with applicants and folks that are interested in being part of this network. Your Fulbright engagement does not end when your grant ends. Really, this network for your life. And we want scholars that are excited about that, that really want to connect to the larger Fulbright community. So today, as I mentioned, we'll be focusing on the U.S. Scholar Program. These are generally awards that are appropriate for U.S. faculty, professionals, artists. For the most part, about 93% of our awards support projects that include teaching, research, or some combination of those two. There's a small amount of awards that we have on offer in our catalog of awards that are focused on international education administrator seminars. So that is, you know, what we're going to focus on today are the sort of 93%. Brazil does not have an IEA seminar, but certainly folks who are interested in a project in higher education, there's absolutely room for that in Brazil. So So eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program, these are baseline eligibility requirements. We have about 470 different awards. Each award will have a different profile and different parameters, but these eligibility criteria are baseline for the program. You do need to be a U.S. citizen. If you are not a U.S. citizen, you may be able to apply to come to the U.S. on a Fulbright grant. You would need to apply through your country of citizenship. Many of our awards will have different degree requirements. So you'll see a PhD or other terminal degree may be required. That'll be written into the award description, although many of our awards are open to applicants with master's degrees and professional academic experience. Certainly, we have supported artists on the Fulbright program, professionals outside of academia. It's all about finding the right opportunity for you. If you're applying to conduct a project that features teaching, there may be some requirements based around the number of years you've taught or experience teaching particular topics. That'll be written into the award description as well. And then there are some new policies around the Fulbright program that you may not be aware of. There is no longer a limit to the number of Fulbright grants you can receive. So you can receive as many grants as you're competitive to receive. You just have to wait 2 years from the end of one grant before you can apply to another grant. So that's some baseline foundational information about the Fulbright program. What I'd like to do, though, is open the floor to the two Fulbright alumni that I have on the line and have them share their experiences in Brazil. The first alum that I would like to invite to speak is Dr. Elizabeth Trejos Castillo. Dr. Trejos Castillo, if you can hear me and if you're on the line, I invite you to talk about your grant.
Hi. How long do I have?
Let's focus on maybe 5 minutes or so, and then if you can stick around for the Q&A, we may have some questions for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, I'm very excited and very honored to be part of this webinar today, and I'm going to try to say as much as I can in 5 minutes, so bear with me. I applied to this Fulbright to go to one of the rural areas in Brazil, which is in Paraná, which is southern Brazil. I had some existing connections with the State University of Ponta Grossa due to a student that did kind of an internship with me a few years ago, and then that connection is kind of started at that time. So my main goal with this Fulbright was to go to work with foster youth. That's one of the areas of research that I actually have. So I work with foster youth in the United States and vulnerable youth, immigrants, and minorities. So I wanted to do a cross-cultural application of this and being able to compare and contrast what are some of the differences or similarities of youth that are going through the child welfare system in the United States and Brazil, but also be able to evaluate what is called as a multi-system youth. So these are foster youth that are also involved in the juvenile justice system due to many different reasons. So we know that foster youth in different countries, they experience or they enter into the system due to very different circumstances. But as far as the developmental characteristics and needs of this youth, they're very similar. They're just teenagers developing, and at the same time, they're going through all these difficulties in life. So I wanted to be able to do this. I made connections with the university, and they were extremely supportive. They helped me sort out all the things that had to do with IRB. As you know, this is one of the biggest things that we have to go through before we even do anything. So they helped me go through all the legal part over there. In my case, it was a little bit more complicated because I had to have permission to enter into the detention centers to work with the youth. I was able to visit before I went for my Fulbright with some money that I had and did like a recognition trip. They were extremely nice. Like I said, I met with the director of one of the detention centers. She ensured that everything was going to be fine, and so they were supportive, and I spent about 6 months planning everything and just being able to have all the paperwork ready to go. The experience was tremendous. The Brazilian people are very warm, and they are very friendly, genuinely friendly, that I was just shocked how nice they are and how honest they are in the things. Just by the time I got there, I had to figure out where I was going to live and all that. And then this lady took me under her wing, and then she gave me a place to live. She even included all the services for me, so I had to just give her some lump of money at the end of the month. And because I had some issues going on with the paperwork and being able to register as a researcher in the country with the federal police, she didn't even ask me to sign a contract for the time I was there. So, like I said, they were very, very nice. And research-wise, everybody was very excited about this learning process together and being able to generate knowledge on these issues. And I have to say that, you know, I have to say that at the end of this experience, it was a life-changing experience. I developed relationships that I'm pretty sure they're going to last for forever. Probably I made friends that are true friends, and then I'm still in touch with them. I came back on August. I'm still in touch with them. We started over their research group with one professor. We've been working steadily with her. We have submitted a couple of papers already in Portuguese and Spanish and English, and then we are working on a grant, and I plan to continue working with them and gathering more information. But in general, my experience was unthinkable. It was just life-changing. It was really great.
That's so insightful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think what I'm going to ask both you and Dr. Young to think about for the Q&A session, which will be at the end of this webinar, is if there's one thing you could tell an applicant to Brazil, if there's one piece of advice you could share, what would that be? And we'll hold that until the Q&A session to give you and Dr. Young a moment to think about that. But really, thank you so much for sharing that insight. Dr. Young, I would like to invite you to speak about your grant.
Sure. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My story is I'm a cultural anthropologist. I teach in the Hudson Valley in New York, and I am perhaps a little bit unusual among Fulbright applicants in that I've actually been working in Brazil for a while, but what I had never done is I had never taught there. All the years that I've been coming and going, and I had never actually taught a class. And that was, you know, I was a little unsure about whether this would work out, but in the end, Fulbright was amenable. So my own experience was I went last year. My fellowship period began in August and went until the end, I think it was till December, the beginning of December, four-month period. I went to the northeastern city of Recife, which is in the state of Pernambuco. It's kind of nice that both me and Elizabeth, we both were in cities that aren't really the typical cities that people go to in Brazil. Neither of us were in Rio or São Paulo, which is kind of nice. Rio and São Paulo tend to get all the attention. But in any case, my gig was that I taught a class at the Federal University of Pernambuco, which is a great university that has a fantastic undergraduate and graduate program in anthropology. And I had actually met a couple of faculty members in that program before. And although Peter suggested we hold this question until the end, I was already going to mention something that really, really served me well, and I wanted to signal it explicitly, which is, the recommendation letter, the letter of support from a local institution. My impression, I don't evaluate Fulbright applications, but my impression is that that's extremely important. And I actually went to, like Elizabeth, I was able to get funds to go to Brazil before the Fulbright. I went last January. And it was on that visit that I proposed, you know, I engaged with some faculty members who I thought might be interested in sort of sponsoring me, writing my letter of support. And it really paid off, and it would have been much harder to do if it was all, you know, via email. So, you know, if you have the opportunity, it will really strengthen your application, I think. So anyway, I did two things. I taught a class, a graduate seminar. Initially, I wasn't sure I was allowed to teach a graduate seminar. I didn't know if it needed to be an undergraduate seminar, but Fulbright was amenable. I did check in with them, and so that worked out fine. And in my spare time, I conducted a small-scale exploratory research project about how middle-class and upper-middle-class elites in Recife, in the city, have been making sense of all of the changes that have happened in Brazilian society over the last 10 years, including the reduction of poverty, which happened on a massive scale about 15 years ago, the Olympics, the World Cup, and all of the political and economic crises that have been unfolding in Brazil since about 2013. Perhaps worth mentioning that for whether my good luck or my bad luck, it could be debated, but I ended up being in Brazil during a really tumultuous period, which is to say the October elections, which for better or for worse are hugely significant. So that was a kind of an unusual experience. It was a moment where Brazil was figuring out what it's going to do for the next piece. I also just wanted to mention one other thing briefly, which is during my stay in Recife, I was able to access a fantastic funding stream. I've forgotten the name of it. It's something like Regional Something Support Initiative. It's a Fulbright funding stream that allowed me to go to Ecuador to give an academic presentation of my research there. And I never would have been able to do that, and that was just a treat and a really really great experience. For those of you who have, no experience with Brazil, it's an amazing place. It is easy to get set up and to have a great time, and the quality of academia there is just fantastic. So I highly recommend it. I think that's it for me, Peter.
Thank you, Dr. Young. That is incredibly helpful, and I really, really appreciate both you and Dr. Trejos Castillo for sharing your insights around your grant. I think I can share a lot of foundational information about the Fulbright program, but really it's hearing from alumni and what they did and how they approached the application process and making connections in Brazil that I think is really, really helpful. So what I want to do now, I'm going to pause the screen because I want to pull up our catalog of awards to show you how to find the Brazil awards and then sort of unpack the opportunities that we have available in Brazil. So if you'll bear with me, I am going to pause the screen for just a second, and I'm going to bring it back up to show you our catalog of awards. So you should see our awards catalog. The URL is awards.ceif.org. So that's our main catalog of awards. That's the website you use to see what's available. So there are a lot of different very general search functions when you come to the front page of this website. We're going to focus on Brazil, of course, so why don't we just search for Brazil? But there are lots of different search functions that you can use. When you search for Brazil, you see that there are five different awards available. There are enhanced searches once you open the main catalog. You can search by region, by country, by discipline. You can search by activity, which means, does the project feature teaching, research, a professional project, or some combination. You can search by grant length. Does the award offer a flex grant? A flex grant allows you to go back and forth between the U.S. and the host country. Or, does the award feature a grant that is under 3 months, more than 10 months, etc.? Does the award require a PhD or not? What kind of award is it? Is it a distinguished chair? Is it open to early career scholars? Is it a postdoc award? You can search by professional profile. Is it open to academics? Is it open to professionals outside of academia? Is it open to education administrators? And then you can even search by the requirement of a letter of invitation. Everything from a letter of invitation is required all the way to a letter of invitation should not be sought, and everything in between. So really, there are a lot of different search criteria that you can look at, but let's look at what we have on offer to Brazil this year. There are five awards to Brazil. I'm going to start with the All Disciplines Award. So when you click the award in the catalog of awards, the full award listing opens up. And from that, you see that there are four different tabs, or you should see that there are four different tabs that are going to have different information about the award description. So Brazil All Disciplines, this is the biggest grant, the biggest award that we have in the Western Hemisphere, and one of the biggest awards that we have in the entire world. I think only India has a bigger award that has 45 grants to India. But this specific award has 30 grants available. You see that we have five different awards. That is true in Brazil. We have five different awards, but each award can have multiple grants under one award. And for this award, we have 30 grants available. So this is really a huge, huge opportunity for up to 30 U.S. scholars to go to Brazil under this one award. This award is incredibly open-ended in terms of what you can do. So you can conduct research, you can conduct teaching, or a combination of teaching and research. This award is open to all levels of scholar except early career. You do need to have a PhD for this award, and I'll talk a little bit more about the profile that's being sought in this award. The grant activity is anywhere from 3 to 4 months and can be completed anywhere between July 1st of 2020 and September 30th of 2021. So really, tons of flexibility with this award. There is no discipline preference, so really any academic discipline is valid for this award. There is even a flex option. So this award, you can either be away for the full 3 or 4 months all at once, or you can go back and forth between the U.S. and Brazil, splitting the grant into two-month segments. It's interesting that both of our alumni went to places outside of Sao Paulo and Rio. There is a preference in Brazil to sort of share the wealth, if you will. Brazil is as big as the continental U.S., and there is the goal of not having 30 Americans on Copacabana, basically. We want to spread the wealth throughout Brazil. And again, going back to the Fulbright mission of increasing mutual understanding, really we want to look at Brazil as a country as a whole, not just in specific cities where Americans tend to go. That being said, this is only a preference. So if you have a great project in Sao Paulo or in Rio, that's fine. You're eligible to apply, and you know, depending on the other aspects of your project, it could absolutely be successful, but just keep that in mind that this is a preference for the All Disciplines Award to Brazil. Let's look at some other information about the award. Under application requirements, you see additional info around, you know, what we're looking for. So a letter of invitation for this award is required, meaning that you must procure and produce a letter of invitation from an institution in Brazil as part of your application. That is required. There is no strict language requirement for Brazil, believe it or not, but your host institution does need to indicate in the letter of invitation whether you have sufficient Portuguese to carry out your project or that your project can be done in English. So believe it or not, there isn't a strict language requirement. It just needs to be addressed in your letter of invitation. This award is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia. However, you do need to have an affiliation with a U.S. institution, either a university, a research center. You do have to have some affiliation in the U.S. Many of our awards are open to independent scholars, retired scholars. This award is not open to folks that do not have a U.S. affiliation. You can be a professor emeritus, that's fine, but you do have to have some affiliation in the U.S. to participate in this award. Also, another preference is for candidates who don't have significant prior experience in Brazil. Now, let's take that with a huge grain of salt, because as both of our alumni spoke about, they did have experience in Brazil prior. That sort of sometimes can conflict with the preference for things being outside of Sao Paulo and Rio, so you have to sort of weigh these preferences, again, with a little bit of a grain of salt. the likelihood that you're going to get a letter of invitation from an institution in Manaus is very unlikely if you don't already know people and you don't already have a relationship. So again, don't be scared off by the preferences written into the award description. You just have to think strategically around them. So again, not to worry about that, but I do want to point that out as a preference for the award. Under award benefits, we get a sense of what the award could provide financially. There, we don't confirm actual grant amounts until the award is conferred, but this is a good idea of what you could receive on this award in terms of funding. Then the tab that speaks to country area overview, this is information, background information, but useful background information around how the country engages with the Fulbright program. We also have listings for contacts in the Fulbright Commission in Brazil. So my colleague, Patricia Grigio in Brazil, she's able to answer questions if you don't have contacts in Brazil or you want to get further information. We encourage you to reach out to the Fulbright Commission in Brazil, and that information is written into the award description. And that's a wonderful resource, again, if you don't have contacts in Brazil or you want some additional information from Brazil. Let's pull out and look at some of the other award offerings. I want to jump a little to the postdoc award. So Brazil has a postdoc award focused on the natural and applied sciences. We see that there are up to 5 grants available, and this award supports either just research or a combination of teaching and research. If you just want to teach, this is not the award for you. So you have to be doing some kind of research, but you can combine it with teaching as well. This is a 4 to 9 month grant, and there's information around when the grant activity can take place. Again, this award does prefer, there is a preference for areas outside of Rio and Sao Paulo. There is no flex option for this award, so you must be away for the entire length of the grant. Unlike the All Disciplines Award, this award is really only focused on the STEM fields, particularly the natural sciences. But if you were applying to do a project outside of the natural sciences, you would not be able to be successful on this award. Also, under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation is required, and the language requirements for this is similar to the All Disciplines Award, wherein your letter of invitation has to indicate if you have adequate Portuguese for the activity that you're proposing. This is open to academics only, and really, because this is a postdoc award, we're looking for folks who have received their doctoral degree within 5 years. Of applying. So really, this is appropriate for postdocs. The All Disciplines Award is really appropriate for folks who have at least 5 years after their doctoral degree, Brazil prefers folks with 8 years behind their PhD and further. So this is a bit of a different profile of an award. It's more for an early career scholar, and again, it's only focused on the natural and applied sciences. There are 3 other awards to Brazil that are a little bit more specialized, and I want to talk a little bit about these awards as well. So the first one I want to talk about is the Distinguished Chair in American Studies at the Federal University of Minas Gerais. So there is one grant available, and this supports activities only a combination of teaching and research. This is a 4-month grant, and you can only be affiliated with the Federal University of Minas Gerais in Belo Horizonte. There is a flex option, meaning that you can divide the 4 months into two-month visits, or just do the 4 months all at once. And they're really focused on American literature, American studies, and interestingly, biological sciences. So those things don't always go together, but I'll show you why those make sense. The specializations they're looking for are philosophy, political thought, U.S. foreign policy, economy, the arts, law and legal institutions, and then for the biological sciences, comparative fauna-flora studies. So really, this doesn't scream biology, but it actually could accommodate projects in biology as long as there was a focus on U.S. flora and fauna. For this award, you should not seek a letter of invitation. You really can only go to the Federal University of Minas Gerais for this award, so really there's no other place you could go, so you should not have a letter of invitation. That being said, we encourage you to reach out to Minas. We have a contact, Ms. Amanda Batista at Minas, and you can also reach out to the Fulbright Commission in Brazil. We encourage you to copy them if you're reaching out to Minas. Everything can be done in English. There are no language requirements for this award. It's open to academics only, and they're really looking, because this is a Distinguished Chair Award, we're looking for candidates who have received their PhD no earlier than 10 years ago. So really, we're looking for folks that are a little bit further along in their careers for this award. Let's look at some of the other specialized awards in Brazil. We have a Distinguished Chair at USP, so University of Sao Paulo. There's one grant available for this, and this award supports research, teaching, or a combination of teaching and research. This is a 4-month grant, and you are only at USP. There is a flex option, so you can divide the 4 months into two-month visits, and the real focus of this is looking at American history, economics, non-U.S. history, law, and political science. Under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation should not be sought, so you don't have to have a letter of invitation for this, but similar to the other award, we have contacts at USP, Amancio G. Oliveira and Felipe Loureiro, and you would copy the Fulbright Commission if you wanted to reach out to USP. You would not need to get a letter of invitation for this award. In fact, you should not include it. If you include it, we will remove it before it goes to committee, but we encourage you to be in touch with USP, the relevant department at USP. Really, again, because this is a Distinguished Chair Award, we're looking for candidates that have at least 10 years behind their doctoral degree. And we'll look at one more award before we continue on in the presentation. Let's look at the Distinguished Chair in Public Policy at the Joaquim Nabuco Foundation. So one grant is available for this award. This supports research and a combination of teaching and research. It's a 4-month grant, and there is a flex option. And your projects are at the Joaquim Nabuco Foundation in Recife in Pernambuco. With this award, they're really looking at a variety of fields focused on things like education, political science, public admin, social work, sociology, really looking at things that establish a dialogue with public education and the challenges that are being faced currently in these kinds of fields. For this award, no letter of invitation should be sought. Everything can be done in English. And we have a contact at Fundagi, the Fundação Joaquim Nabuco. You're welcome to reach out to them. Even though you don't have to have a letter of invitation for this award, we encourage you to reach out to Fundagi and copy the Fulbright Commission when you're reaching out to the institution. We, similarly to the other Distinguished Chair Awards in Brazil, we're looking for candidates that have at least 10 years behind PhD to apply for this award. So that's a quick survey of what we have on offer to Brazil. You can see that there are, there's a variety of different kinds of awards in Brazil. The biggest one, though, is the All Disciplines Award, which has 30 grants available. It's nice, though, to see the more specialized awards. And you may, if you fit into the profile of the more specialized awards, and work in those areas, they may be good for you to consider applying to. But really, the All Disciplines Award in Brazil has a lot of leverage. There's a lot of free range to create your own project. And as Dr. Young and Dr. Teos Castillo were speaking about in terms of letters of invitation, with the All Disciplines Award, you can see that it's so open-ended that a lot of the parameters of what you would be actually doing in Brazil would come from your discussion with the host institution in Brazil. So in terms of, how much should I teach versus how much should I research, that would be a discussion that you would have with the host institution in Brazil if you were applying to the All Disciplines Award. Or, what kinds of things do you want me to be doing? This is what I can do in terms of my research. do you want me to conduct that kind of research? Those are the kinds of discussions, those are the kinds of questions that you'll need to be having with the host institution if you're applying to the All Disciplines Awards. The more specialized awards are much more focused on particular disciplines and particular, they'll have much more particular parameters, whereas the All Disciplines Award is really, you have a lot more leverage in terms of creating the kind of project that you want to conduct. So what I'm going to do now, if you'll bear with me, I'm going to pause the screen for just a moment, and I will continue with the PowerPoint, just a few more slides before we get to the Q&A. And if you'll bear with me for just a second, I'm pulling the PowerPoint back up. And we can see some special requirements for Brazil that I want to bring up to you again. And you see how they played out in the different awards, but I do want to mention them. So for language requirements, Brazil does not have strict language requirements. You'll see in our application materials the language proficiency report. You don't have to fill that out for Brazil, but you do have to have, if you're applying to the All Disciplines or the Postdoc Award, you do have to have a letter of invitation that spells that out, that you have adequate Portuguese or that you can conduct your project in English. For the Distinguished Chair Awards, they generally tend to be fine with just English. So again, you would not need to fill out the language proficiency report. Project location, as we mentioned and as you saw in the awards, they're encouraged in all parts of Brazil, not just the places where Americans tend to go. That doesn't mean that you can't apply with a project focused in Sao Paulo or Rio, but there is that soft preference for a project outside of those two cities where it is more typical to find Americans. One of the aspects I want to point out about Brazil and the Western Hemisphere at large is that there's an additional award that you can apply for called the Regional Travel Award. So during your grant period, you're able to travel to other participating Western Hemisphere countries. There's additional funding to do that, and that is meant to be a short-term trip to another participating West Hem country. Most countries in the Western Hemisphere participate with this. It's a great opportunity to, say, go for a conference or a seminar, again, a short-term trip to another West Hem country. That's a feature of the awards to Brazil, and many Fulbright alumni to the region have enjoyed that additional add-on to their grant. Let's look at some other special considerations to Brazil. Applicants are really encouraged to contact your potential host institutions. That goes for the All Disciplines Award and the postdoc, but also the more specialized awards. You really do want to have discussions whether or not the award requires a letter of invitation. You want to make sure that the host institution is really on board with whatever it is you're proposing to do. We encourage you to reach out to institutions in Brazil, but also certainly don't be shy about reaching out to the Fulbright Commission in Brazil. They're happy to help make an initial connection or give recommendations. That is something that they're more than happy to do. And in a lot of cases, especially with the All Disciplines Award, the award is so open-ended that it's critical that you're having a discussion with the host institutions and making sure that you're on the same page about what you want to do and what they want to do on your grant. Another special consideration is around indigenous populations or nature reserves. There is a special government authorization that you need to obtain to do that. Generally, your host institution will be the one that should assist you with that. But again, that if you are proposing to do any kind of work with indigenous populations in Brazil or in the Amazon, essentially, or other nature reserves, there's additional permission you need to receive in order to do that. So everyone who registered for this webinar will receive a full set of digital materials. Everything's available on our website, but I do like to sort of concisely share them with applicants. So we break down every aspect of the application. We give you sample project statements, give you advice on how to find letters of invitation, who to ask for letters of recommendation from, et cetera. We break down every aspect of the application for you. Certainly, you are welcome to join any of our many live webinars. We archive all of our webinars. After a few days or so after the live date, we archive them. So if you can't join them live, you know, you're absolutely welcome to watch the video online. The application, I won't spend too much time on this, but it's nothing you haven't seen before. Really, there's an application form, a project statement, which is 3 to 5 pages. We do look for CV or resume, but keep in mind, for the All Disciplines Award and the Postdoc Award, we want 6 pages. For the Distinguished Chair Awards in Brazil, we'll go up to 8 pages. So you do have to edit and make a concise CV for these purposes. We do want 3 letters of reference. If you're applying for teaching awards, we'll want sample syllabi, up to 10 pages, 2 to 3 syllabi. They can be classes you have taught, or classes you hope to teach, or some combination. If you're applying to conduct research, we'll want what we refer to as a bibliography, but it's really a literature review. We want 3 pages of the most relevant research to your topic. Brazil does not require language proficiency reports, but Brazil, as you saw, the postdoc and the All Disciplines Award require letters of invitation. And then if you're applying in the arts, architecture, journalism field where we would expect a work sample, there's place for that in the application. Your project statement, I'll go over this really quickly, but I do want to point this out. This is what you want to do, how you want to do it, and the impact that you are going to have. We really look at quality, feasibility, and outcomes. So you know your field, you know your disciplines, but does what you're proposing to do, does it make sense for Brazil? Is it something that Brazil would be open to receiving? What do you feel the impact of your activity will be from this project? These are the kinds of insights that we want to know in your project statement. We also, feasibility is a big criterion, and I do see people not explain methodology enough, and that sometimes lends doubt to the feasibility. So we want to get a sense of, you know, how you're actually going to do whatever it is you're proposing to do. And, you know, again, you have 5 pages to do this. What I like to recommend is having a colleague from your discipline, from your department, give you feedback on your proposal, but then also someone who isn't in your discipline, someone with a completely different background, to give you a more generalist feedback. That way, you can sort of replicate our selection process, where you really do have to write to 2 different audiences. So you have to show that your project is a quality project in your discipline, but you can't be so mired in your discipline's language that a generalist wouldn't understand why this is a good project. So I think getting feedback from colleagues both in your discipline and outside of your discipline is really helpful, and that kind of replicates our review process. As we saw, the postdoc and the All Disciplines Award in Brazil do require letters of affiliation. Generally, these are non-binding expressions of interest. They should typically come from the person who is hosting you and should be on institution letterhead. And specific to Brazil, we do have the requirement that that the letter address your language abilities, either that you have enough Portuguese or that you can conduct your project in English for the All Discipline and for the Postdoc Award. If you don't have contacts in Brazil, certainly you can reach out to the Fulbright Commission in Brazil, but also look at your own colleagues in your universities. Do you have colleagues that have connections in Brazil? You can filter our scholar directory by your home institution and see if, you know, any of your colleagues have gone to Brazil. You can also filter our directory by discipline. So see if your colleagues in the field, have they gone to Brazil? Are there people you know that are among our alumni that might be able to share information with you? So there are a lot of different ways to approach getting a letter of invitation, even if you don't have contacts in Brazil. But certainly, I think it's a great thing that the Fulbright Commission in Brazil is open to receiving questions about from folks that don't have contacts. A competitive application, really this whole webinar has been all about that. You want to make sure that you are picking the right award for you, for the kind of project that you want to do, for your profile, and then you want to make sure that you're addressing the Fulbright goals of increasing mutual understanding. Whatever it is you're proposing, we want to support it, but it needs to contextualize that ambassadorial aspect in addition to, you know, showing that it's a quality project, that it's feasible. You know, this is the outcome side. This is where outcomes come into play in terms of, you know, what do you expect to get out of this professionally, personally, academically? Why is this a good project for all the stakeholders involved? That's what we want to see in your project statement, but certainly throughout your application. So I'm going to open the floor to questions, but I definitely want to point to some ways to stay in touch with us. You can join my Fulbright at cief2.org to indicate any kinds of special interests that you may have. If you're interested in a particular country, in a particular discipline, you can indicate that, and we'll send you messages around different events, new awards, things of that nature, really tailored to what your interests are. You can certainly email us at westhem@iie.org. That is the Western Hemisphere Advising Team, so certainly reach out to us if you have questions. We're more than happy to speak to you. Certainly our website has a lot of resources. We even have a referral program where you can refer your colleagues if you think folks might be interested in a Fulbright grant. And then certainly we are on all social media platforms. So lots and lots of ways to stay in touch with us. So what I want to do, I'm going to open the question panel and see what questions we already have. But what I want to do now is invite Dr. Young and Dr. Trejos Castillo to share, you know, one bit of advice that they might give to Brazil. And I know, Dr. Young, you kind of already gave that insight, but maybe Dr. Trejos Castillo, if you'd like to speak first, and then Dr. Young.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I think that there are so many things that I want to say, but I'm just going to focus on one, language. Portuguese is not my first language, of course, and I know that sometimes we feel intimidated by that, but I will invite everybody just to jump in, you know, with all your heart. What I did, because I was going to be teaching, I forgot to mention that as well, I was going to be teaching, and they told me they wanted me to teach in English, but I know many of the students wouldn't speak the language because they are in a rural area, and so they have limited access to some of those resources. So anyway, so I pushed my Fulbright to the last possible time that I could do it. So with that in mind, I had a full year before I traveled. So what I did is that I started reaching out to colleagues and try to find information. But in the meantime, because, you know, the time was running and I needed to get ready, I started watching soap operas. And I know, you know, it sounds might sound like funny, but I was watching about an hour to 2 hours at the beginning. It was painful because I felt like every 5 seconds I would stop the video and then grab the dictionary. So I was writing down the words and the pronunciation, but I have to say that made a huge difference in my learning of the language. I also started reading. There is this program that is called Duolingo that is fascinating and it's just great and it's free too, so that you can download it and gain a lot of the structural part of the language. The vocabulary is really good. And then watch the novellas, the soap operas that are free on YouTube. And I have to say that really preparing my ears to listen to the pace of what they talk and the pronunciation from different parts of the country was really, really nice. And it helped me a lot. So by the time I was there, I started teaching in English, but of course, you know, sure enough, I knew that I had to start switching into Portuguese, and it was really nice. It was a great experience. I can't say my Portuguese is the best ever, but I feel very confident that I can hold a conversation and be able to understand most of what they're saying to me.
That's a really great insight. And again, for Brazil, there isn't a strict language requirement as long as your host is okay with whatever level of Portuguese you have. They just need to address that in the letter. But as we all know, any language skills you have is welcome. But Dr. Young, I'm sorry, I just cut you off. Please continue.
Sure. Well, I was really just going to sort of extend on my earlier point about the importance of the letter. It's maybe a little bit sort of strategic, but I think it's worth mentioning, especially if you're not able to visit Brazil to sort of, meet up with whoever's going to be writing your letter, offer to, help them and tell them, I think most Brazilian academics and people in institutions would be wide open to kind of getting your sense of what you'd like them to emphasize in the letter. Peter, I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, but I think it's a good thing to, rather than simply saying, hey, would you write me a letter? Because then if you do that, you're kind of beholden to whatever they give you. And I think, whenever I do recommendations for students for graduate school or anything like that, I always say, what would you like me to emphasize and what needs to be highlighted? And there are things that, an applicant for Fulbright would want to be highlighted, and so it's good to signal those explicitly to people you're approaching to write you letters of support. I think that was my main point.
That's an incredible insight. Thank you for sharing that. And again, certainly, those your referees, people who are writing your letters of recommendation, they should be people who know you well and can speak to your abilities, but also fitting into the context of the Fulbright program. So it's absolutely worth having a conversation with them about whatever it is you're proposing, telling them exactly, what you would like to emphasize. I think that's a wonderful insight. So we do have some questions that we have chatted in. First is, do opportunities to Brazil require a doctorate? For the most part, yes, although not every field, the terminal degree is not always a doctoral degree. So there may be cases in which an MBA might be appropriate or an MFA. I would encourage you to reach out to westhem@iie.org for more information. We can even look at your CV and give you recommendations. And if we're not sure, certainly the Fulbright Commission in Brazil can give further insight around that. But for the most part in Brazil, they do require a doctoral degree, but there are some fields wherein the terminal degree is not a PhD. So certainly an EdD or a JD for law, it's not always the PhD, but for Brazil, they do want the terminal degree in your field, which in most cases is a PhD. Two questions that are similar. I am Brazilian, but I've lived in the U.S. for more than 20 years. I'm a native from Brazil, but I have American citizenship. Am I eligible to apply? So if you are a U.S. citizen, you are able to apply to Brazil, certainly, provided that you meet all the other eligibility criteria. There are some countries that do not allow dual citizens to apply. Brazil is not one of them, so if you have dual U.S. and Brazilian citizenship, you can apply to Brazil. However, you really, really want to emphasize why it makes sense for you to go to Brazil on a Fulbright. You have to do that anyway, but I think if you are a dual U.S.-Brazilian citizen, it really has to make sense of why this fits into the Fulbright goal of increasing mutual understanding. So that's something that you'll want to pay attention to. But if you have U.S. citizenship and you fit the other eligibility criteria, you are able to apply to this award, even if you are originally from Brazil. I do, though, again, one last thing I want to bring up is that there is preference for folks who don't have a lot of experience in Brazil, so you'll want to address that in your application and show us or describe to us why it makes sense that you should apply for a Fulbright and what is the context in which that fits into the goals of the Fulbright program. Question about journalists. Other than work samples, are there other requirements for journalists? Journalism is one of those fields where we would expect a work sample. So there's place in the application for a work sample. Other than that, there are no specific requirements unless otherwise specified in the award description. Journalism is a tricky field, though, because certainly the terminal degree for a practicing journalist is not a doctoral degree necessarily. You can absolutely reach out to westhamandie.org for further clarification on that. We would need to see your CV probably and help you with further insights. Are there TESOL opportunities? This comes up there. So throughout the Western Hemisphere, there is an interest in ESL. And for the U.S., the terminal practitioner degree in ESL is a master's degree. However, Brazil would not consider someone with a master's degree in TESOL or a master's of education. They would not consider that the terminal degree. They would want someone with a PhD in applied linguistics in that case. That I do speak from experience with that. We've had applicants that were interested with that background, but Brazil, they gave us the feedback, no, they really want folks with a doctoral degree in some field related to ESL. Let's see. Does Fulbright have any grants for those who are experienced in Brazil? I'm working on a book and looking for funding that will allow me to bring Brazilian undergraduates on the project. So you could not bring undergrads with you on a Fulbright grant. The Fulbright grant would be meant for you yourself to travel to Brazil. But that being said, that could be a great outcome of your work, is that, you know, you're opening doors, you're creating creating connections in Brazil that would facilitate students coming over on a future project. You could not bring undergrads with you on your Fulbright grant, though. And also, actually, I would love to have Dr. Trejos Castillo and Dr. Young speak to how, you know, they both have some experience in Brazil, which technically that's a preference for newer folks to Brazil. But I might ask them to describe their experience of how do they contextualize their previous experience with Brazil and be successful on their applications.
I can go first, and if you, Elizabeth.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I had fairly significant research experience, but the two things that I didn't have, and I really tried to highlight, I had no teaching experience, and I that was genuine, and it really was my priority. I really wanted to have a teaching experience in Brazil, as intimidating as that was, because I ended up teaching a class in my messy Portuguese, but I got through it and had a great experience. So that's one thing. The other thing is I had never worked in the northeastern part of Brazil. So this was, for those of you know, if you have some familiarity with Brazil, you know that, you know, comparing the northeast to, let's say, the southeast is almost like comparing different countries. And so if you are applying and you already have some experience in Brazil, I think it'll be a stronger case if you are applying to work or to, you know, have your fellowship be somewhere that you've never been before in Brazil. And those two aspects, emphasizing teaching and a new region for me, a completely different region, I think were helpful.
Okay, so in my case, I never been to Brazil before. I just happened to have a student that applied for an internship through a program in the country in Brazil, and she joined my lab for about 9 months. So I never been in Brazil, but through her, we were able to establish this connection, and she went back. She graduated. I was part of her dissertation committee as an international. So that's how we established this connection. One of the main things that I emphasize is that in my field of research, I work with foster youth and vulnerable youth in general, and youth involved in the juvenile justice system. So since I already had the experience here, I made a strong claim for why I wanted to go to Brazil, because the United States and Brazil are the two countries in the American continent that report the highest rates of child abuse, child neglect, and also youth in the juvenile justice system. So since I already had the experience here, I said that I wanted to do a discourse national application. And in the case of the class, because I wanted to teach as well, I do teach a class on methods of cross-cultural research. So I said, I made a claim that it was very important for different countries as well to learn about cross-cultural methods. And so with my expertise, I was able to just adapt it to the country in a way that the students will get basic learning about conducting cross-cultural research and cross-national research. And that was well received. So if I may just say something very quick, one of the things that I think it is important when you put the statement together is be true to your passion. You know, I think one of the things that that sometimes we see in the applications and in a review for the national committee is that sometimes people get too technical, and then we go straight to the research, and then we get too complicated with what we want to do, and we are not really showing our passion, describing what is it that we were doing and why it's so important for Brazil and why it's so important for the United States. So this exchange is very significant for both countries, and it should be clear in the application.
Thank you so much. Both of your insights are so incredibly helpful, and I really couldn't put it in better terms myself. So really, really thank you for sharing that insight. We are a little bit over the hour. I do want to answer a few more questions really, really quickly, but I do want to thank everyone for joining. Really quickly go through the last few questions we have. Are there financial obligations of the host institutions? What other obligations do they have? They do not have to contribute financially to the Fulbright grant. Really, they have to speak to your language ability. So they have to confirm in writing that you either have sufficient Portuguese to do the project or you can conduct the project in English. And then they have to the extent possible, be enthusiastic and sort of welcoming to you that they are interested in you doing whatever it is you're proposing. There may be limits on what they can put into a letter of invitation just because of their own institutional policies, but at the very least, they should not contradict with what you're proposing. So if you're writing a research proposal and the letter only mentions teaching, that's a bad thing. So ideally, though, they would be enthusiastic and receptive and reflect that in the letter of invitation. But other than the language piece, there are no financial obligations for the host institution. A follow-up question. I actually misread something when I was talking about bringing U.S. students on a Fulbright grant. You could not do that. But the question was really about getting Brazilian undergrads to participate in the project. That's something you could absolutely do. It would fall under the larger rubric of teaching or research. As long as the host institution in Brazil was open to that, I think that could be a wonderful way to show impact and to show what the outcomes of your work would be by involving students and then maybe talking about what they would do with that after your Fulbright grant. I think that could be a wonderful aspect to a project. With that, we don't have any further questions. I thank everyone for joining. Dr. Young, Dr. Trejos Castillo, it's such a pleasure to hear from both of you. Thank you for joining. I want to encourage everyone to reach out to us, westhem@iie.org, if you have questions about Brazil or any other awards to the Western Hemisphere. And thanks, everyone. We look forward to receiving your applications. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.